You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, Marriage After God friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I'm Aaron Smith. Today, we got another special episode for you. We recorded this episode just before we had our fourth child, who is now 1 month away from being 1 year old. And he's growing. He's walking now. His name's Truett. He's incredible. And this episode, we recorded it just before we had him. And it was to share some fears that we had about our family growing, but to encourage the audience who haven't had any children yet, who are planning to have children, who are about to have their second, third, fourth child, just to talk biblically about how we navigate fears in our life and fears of our family growing. And so we pray that this episode blesses you today. Before we get into the episode, I did want to share with you how we are giving away a free download to encourage your date life with your spouse. And what it is we created this 52 date night conversation starters ebook. And so we always talk about on this podcast having date nights. And so we created a document that you can take with you, and you guys can use one conversation starter a week for 52 weeks for a year on every date night. So that way you can go deeper on your date nights and have deeper conversations about what it means to be a marriage after God, how God can use you. And we give you prompts for 52 date nights. It's completely free. Go to datenightconversations.com. That's datenightconversations.com. Give us your name, email, and boom, you'll have our free conversation starters ebook. So I hope you get that today. Enjoy it. And also enjoy this episode about three fears of a growing family. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe the Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power.
That can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us in this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God. Before we get started today, because this topic is kind of surrounded around a growing family and having kids, I wanted to share that we do have resources for parents called 31 Prayers for My Son and for My Daughter. And these are great resources for you to pray over your children. There are 31 prayers in each book, talking about different topics in the child's life. And there's also journal pages so that after each prayer, you can just make it more personal. And we've had some positive feedback about these resources. Parents are really loving them. So make sure you get a copy. Yep. Well, first off, I just want to thank everyone for joining us today, listening, and we want to encourage you to grab your Bible so that as we go through scripture, you can participate.
So the first thing we're going to do before we start talking about these fears that a lot of us go through in our marriages as we start growing our family with children, is I just want to go straight to scripture and read the God's word about fear in our lives. And this is in 2 Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy and encouraging him in his ministry. And he says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So I just want to start off as we go into this idea of the fears that we all experience and explain that God has given us, just like he's given Timothy, just like Paul reminds Timothy, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control. And then the second verse I want to start us off with is in Psalms 127. And I just want to get a biblical, godly perspective on children. And in Psalm, the psalmist writes, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So God's perspective in this one verse, there's hundreds of verses that talk about who children are to us and to God, is that they're a heritage, that they're a blessing, that they're a weapon wielded in the hands of parents for his purposes.
I'm so glad that we started with those two verses, because I think above all else, it's so important to remember what God's perspective and heart is toward children, so that as we move forward and navigate through these spheres, how do we remember what God believes is true about a growing family?
And as we always say to the Christian marriages out there, that we found our a marriage after God founds their marriage on the Bible, on the Word of God. We don't do it in our feelings. We don't operate in our opinions. We don't operate in our ideas. What we try and do to the best of our abilities through the Spirit that God's put in us is we run to the Word of God. So as we talk through these fears that we're dealing with right now, our way of dealing with them is the Word of God. And so that's why we encourage you to have your Bible. And as we go through these fears that we're going to bring up right now, we're going to try and find scripture to combat those fears.
So Aaron, you walked us through those two scriptures, which again were very powerful, and they're ones that I'm actually really familiar with. But how do we look at our lives and use those scriptures to encourage us in a practical way?
So the first practical thing, the Bible tells us to meditate on God's word. And that word meditate, it comes from this idea of like a cow chewing cud. And it says we chew it, we mull it over and over and over again. And we continue to bring it up and remind ourselves of it. And we go back to it over and over and over again. We don't just hear it one time and then all of a sudden, oh, that's just in my heart and I've got it forever. That might happen in some cases, but for the most part, like for you, you have to be reminded.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going through hormone changes, because you're going through hormone changes, and that can feel totally chaotic. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just trying to address the symptoms and like, well, just, you need to change the way you're thinking. You need to, which is how I tend to approach you, which is not always effective. Mm-hmm. Meditating on scripture. So when we're in those moments of the things that we're specifically going to talk about, we go back to those scriptures and be like, well, I'm thinking this way and I feel this way, but this is the truth. And I just need to remind myself of that, even though it doesn't feel like the truth.
Mm, that's good. So even having like maybe these scriptures written out on hand so that they're next to your bedstand or in the kitchen window
or on our chalkboard,
like right over there. Or on a chalkboard in your house somewhere. I think that would be really encouraging for those listening to know that a very practical way of being reminded of these scriptures is to just put them in front of you.
Yeah, have them on hand, memorize them.
So one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk about this topic today about fears of a growing family is because this is exactly where we've been for the last month. I am right almost into the second trimester of our fourth baby.
Woo-hoo!
We're so excited about that. And I've just been wrestling with having some fears about our family getting a little bit bigger. And I don't know, for those of you listening, if you guys have jumped in and had any kids yet, or maybe you're on two or three, maybe some of you are on six or seven, like some of our friends.
Yeah.
But I know that some of these fears that we're going to talk about are super relatable. And so hopefully it's encouraging for you to hear what we're going to talk about today.
So why don't you share with us some fears that you're going through right now? Because although we learn from scripture in 2 Timothy that we don't have a spirit of fear, when hormones rise up, when your body starts changing, when you start realizing the logistics of the day and you have an overwhelming morning and, you know, they come up. And it's our job to navigate that with God. So
a lot of the things that I've been wrestling with is feeling like I can't handle it. I can't manage my home or keep up with the demands of all of the dishes or feeding everyone or keeping up with the laundry and just little things like
that. You know, that crud off the floor after meals.
from our youngest spilling food on the floor. So having to meet all of those demands of the day and then looking to our future and saying, and we're going to have another baby being added to the picture. And it just feels overwhelming. Mm. That's just one fear that I've been wrestling with.
So you're talking about not being able to handle it, that just the demands of the day of
feeling
life,
exhausted emotionally, mentally, physically,
which are real things because your body has limitations,
especially when I am pregnant again.
Exactly. And your home has limitations and your time has limitations. It just, the thing that I immediately thought of is is acknowledging the weakness. Because mm-hmm. we all, you know, moms out there, you look at any Instagram about moms.
We want to be superheroes.
Superhero. Like, you're the superhero mom. And you're like, oh my gosh, she's got a beautiful Instagram feed and her home's always perfect and her kids are beautiful and wonderful and act perfectly all the time. And that's just not reality. I think you might have a expectation of yourself that isn't a real expectation. And since you can't live up to it, it hurts.
It does hurt.
And it breaks you and it makes you feel more emotional and like a failure. Mm-hmm. So one thing that husbands could be doing is reminding your wives that they are great and that the things you're doing are wonderful and you don't have to do everything perfectly. Another thing we should be doing as husbands is cultivating an environment in the home where we're helping. I can't help all the time because I have a job. Many husbands, they have full-time jobs. And I know a lot of wives, moms might have jobs also. Mm-hmm. That might be adding to the stress also, but cultivating an environment where you know you're helped. Yeah. And I remember reminding you this morning, even when you were dealing with this, I said, babe, I'm here with you also. Yeah. Like, you don't need to feel like you have to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. But the weakness part of this, it reminds me of the scripture of when Paul in 2 Corinthians is talking about a thorn that's been given to him in his side. Mm-hmm. It's either an ailment or someone who's pestering him. And we don't know exactly what it is. He never says exactly what it is. But Paul tells us the torment that this thorn is causing him. And this is what God's word to him was about this weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "But he, God, said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Mm. And then it goes on to say, Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so reminding ourselves of, like, it's okay to be weak. We're human. Weakness is a part of who we are. We're in this weak flesh that has cravings and desires and hormones and brokenness. But we have a Savior and we have a God that's given us His Holy Spirit that we can actually operate in His strength. And that actually, when we recognize our weakness and we humble ourselves, we actually can glorify Him in His strength. And it says, Paul says, "I'll boast all the more gladly in my weakness." So my wife can actually say, you know, recognizing that I can't do all of this reminds me of my need for God and His peace and His comfort, and that I need to run to Him. Because did you run to Him, you know, in those times that when you feel the most weak?
Not always.
Is that your first?
It's not usually my first.
No, but that's what God wants, is He wants us. It's not my first thing ever. I usually go to, like, my own strengths and my own, like, oh, I'm going to get some consulting. I don't run to Him first. I don't fall on my face and say, okay, Lord, I cannot do this today.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we continue to keep ourselves trying and striving for that ideal of perfection or mm-hmm. expectation that we've placed on ourselves, that we don't slow down enough to do this, what you're saying.
Right. And the idea is that we can recognize our own weaknesses and our own limitations. Do you remember a long time ago on our road trip, or actually we were driving up to the mountains, and we were talking about just time and strength and energy. And
I was telling you how frustrated I am because there's all these things that I want to do. And you told me.
And that was so long ago. You're right back there.
I know.
But I explained, I said, being human, we're limited. We can only hold so much weight up. We can only speak so many words. We only have so many hours in a day. We can only stay awake so long, that if we want to accomplish something over here, then there inevitably will have to be other things that will have to be laid aside.
Yeah.
It's just the reality. Mm-hmm. So a good example of this is if let's say you want to spend quality time with all your kids, right? There might have to be some dishes in the sink. And I'm going to be honest, personally, I would rather you spend some quality time with our kids. Mm. And us.
Oh, I think that's really important to acknowledge real quick, just so that people listening can understand this. So understanding each other's expectations of what we're called to do in the home. So knowing that you're okay with dishes in the sink helps me understand that I can spend that time with the kids and I don't have to rush to go do the dishes in order to please you. Like, ultimately, we need to understand.
Or please yourself, because you could easily see, like, a clean house as the most important thing for the day and drop the ball on the children. Mm-hmm. And then you still might feel like a failure at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You have a clean house and kids that are vying for attention.
So I do want to encourage those listening that it's really important for a husband and wife to vision together and to talk about expectations and figure out what is what are priorities for your family.
And this brings me back again to a husband cultivating a safe environment in the home. If you come home from work and you're bothered that the dishes are dirty, yet your wife had spent all day with your children and like had taught them and loved on them and fed them and took care of them and took them on trips and got did play dates. And then you
either
might need
let
to
let the dishes go or clean them
and that's kind of the, or find a time to give her time to herself. If she likes to take care of the house and just take the kids and you go spend time with the kids and let her have an hour or two to herself to do what she wants.
Yeah.
If like, I know that sometimes you just want to clean the house.
Yeah.
Like, there's, hey, Aaron, go play with the kids. I want to just clean.
Yeah. Especially because I like the way that I do it. And, so
and
I know
since we're a team, I should be like,
absolutely.
Deal. I'll take the kids. We're going to go to the park. We're going to go for a drive. We're going to be gone. Yeah. You won't hear from us. But husbands, cultivating an environment that's healthy and safe for your wife and the mother of your children. Because if she feels like, you know, you expect her to be everything.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
You know, perfect for you, perfect for her kids, perfect for your home. You're going to break her. Mm-hmm. And this is something I have to learn. And we also have to balance, but it also takes communication, you know, talking through these things.
And as we're talking about fears of a growing family, when those conversations come up where you guys are talking about maybe growing your family, you need to be honest with yourselves and know that your wife might have fears of, well, I can't do all the demands of the home if we bring another child into the world because I already can't do it.
If you're a husband that is just absent, you get home, turn that TV on, you know, get into your video games. Hopefully you're not playing video games. but yeah, you just kind of check out when you get home and you expect dinner to be ready and you just view your home time as your sanctuary time and your wife just kind of keeps going 24/7. I wouldn't want to have your kids either.
That's harsh, but
I'm just being honest, but that's the kind of men we need to be.
If you want to have a marriage after God and one that's free from fears of a growing family, I think it's really important to talk about expectations and to be a team when considering what things around the house need to be done. When you do have little kids running around and you want to spend that time with them or do things that are a priority in your family.
Yeah. So you shared with us that you feel like you can't handle it, which is a totally normal and common feeling because of everything in life. Mm-hmm. What's something else that just wells up in you? Just it's those emotions, those feelings. What else was coming up in you today?
So another one was that a fear of missing out. So we already
FOMO.
FOMO. We already
I have that all the time.
All the time with friends.
Everything.
And things like, yeah. I have a fear of missing out with my children, the ones that we already have. So we already have three and I see them growing up and every day I'm just amazed by them. And I just feel like there's been certain seasons where I was either pregnant or had morning sickness where I did miss out a little bit postpartum with Wyatt. That was another one where I felt like I was missing out with Elliot and Olive a little bit. And so I don't want to miss anything in their lives. I just don't.
Yeah.
And so one of my fears is if we have another child, what else am I going to be missing with them that maybe I wouldn't have if we didn't have a growing family?
And that's a totally legitimate fear that people have. It's not unfounded. You just look at numbers, you look at time. We just talked about this, how we're limited creatures. We're not infinite. We're finite. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is we need to change our perspective on on things. That's what this whole, you know, video is about, is perspective. And if the perspective is, unless we can spend equal amount of time with every single child, then we're not going to be giving them what they need. Mm-hmm. I think is inaccurate. Mm. And this is a personal opinion, but I do feel like there's a level of, you know, if that's the case, then let's just have one kid because they can get all of our love. But in reality, like the love and the experience that we want our kids to have, our oldest, it's going to be inevitable that he learns that the world doesn't revolve around him. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable that he's going to learn that he has other responsibilities. Like, so where you want to spend time with our oldest, Elliot, but you also want to spend time with Olive and Wyatt and then the new baby. Well, Elliot needs to learn how to spend time with his siblings. Mm-hmm. And they need to learn how to have alone time and play well with each other.
This is true. One thing that I've been noticing lately in our relationships with our kids is we've been teaching them a lot about how to walk in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And so it is... Having siblings does give them the opportunity to learn compassion and learn kindness and learn sharing and gentleness and love and all of that.
Well, and responsibility.
Responsibility.
So
Elliot, how they participate in the family.
Yeah, we can easily recognize just the spiritual state of our son, that he does feel like he's not getting as much as he used to from us, as much attention. So a couple of things happen. We can recognize that and make sure that we're being extra intentional with him. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Which we do, and we try to, and sometimes we drop the ball, of course. But then we can also find other ways of redirecting, because he's craving attention from us. But usually that's a craving that God's wanting, right? And so we can slowly start teaching him about that desire that he has for that relationship. Mm-hmm. And like that he's not going to always get it from us. And that mom isn't the only person to get energy from. And all those feelings met and those needs met. Because what's going to happen is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, however many kids we have, if every single one of them think that they're owed that same exact amount of attention from you, what are we teaching them? And can you possibly ever fulfill that?
No. And we're essentially teaching them to have that same perspective toward God. They're going to expect, you know, that
they're going to look at
same perspective of,
you know, Joe over
God
here.
Owes me this or that, or I deserved it.
They'll look at this, oh, so-and-so has been given so much and they have this ministry and like, he hasn't given me that. Mm. And that's just the wrong perspective. The Bible actually tells us that the entire body is knit together as one unit. And then it says that the lesser parts of the body are glorified and the greater parts of the body are brought low for the sake of equality. So giving him a perspective that he actually can't get everything he wants from mom, he has to understand that. And he actually can start, instead of wanting to just take from mom, he can actually learn how to give to his siblings. Mm-hmm. And so we're teaching him responsibilities in the house. So instead of just going to mom and being, mom, can you just spend all the time with me? We're like, actually, Elliot, we need your help.
Yeah.
Can you go put trash bags in the trash can? Can you go vacuum the floor?
You got to be able to trust your kids, because Elliot's been stepping up and doing great. And every time we ask him, you know, require him something of him, he's been fulfilling that. So it's been great to see the maturity in him.
It's amazing, actually. He puts the trash bags in every time I ask perfectly.
One thing that you did mention when I shared this fear with you was the reality that we will miss out. Even if it was just one kid, there are going to be times that we miss out, which means the time that we are present, we need to be so intentional. And that really meant a lot to me.
Which is true. Again, the same way we recognize we are weak. Mm-hmm. And that makes God more strong in our life. Mm-hmm. The other thing we recognize is we are going to miss out. Mm-hmm. We can't control everything. We can't have everything. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay that dad's gone a lot of the day. But when I'm home, I should not be gone.
Right.
At home.
Even if that means on the couch on your phone. Like, you should be present. Right. You should be engaged.
Which is something that the Lord convicts of me every single day. I'm trying really hard to not be on my phone in front of my kids, because I want them to know that they have my eyes when I'm here. But then there's also times when I'm around that I have to say,
Daddy's busy.
And you need to go play quietly. You need to color. So just understanding that we cannot be everything and all things to our children. We have to recognize where we're at.
That's good.
And that missing out is a part of life. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be okay. I know it doesn't feel good, but it's got to be okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you share with us one more fear that you are currently dealing with, knowing that we're about to have 4 kids?
I don't know if everyone can relate to this, but it's just that fear of losing my personal time, the time mm-hmm. that I like to pour into things I'm passionate about. One of them, spending time with the Lord. You know, I feel like with each right. kid, I have to really fight for that time. Or working and blogging, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like I have to really...
Or time with your girlfriends.
Or time with my girlfriends. There's just going to get a cup of coffee, you know, and sharing that time with mm-hmm. either myself or with a girlfriend. I feel like the thought of bringing another child would mean now I got to find someone that could babysit mm-hmm. four kids, you know, if I want to go on date night with you, right?
That's $5 a kid. Yeah. That's 2 to 4 hours.
It's a lot. So being conflicted with, am I going to lose more me time? And I know that's really selfish, but it does.
But it's real.
Up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so this, I'm going to keep going back to this because it's a balance of like, it'd be easy just to tell you, be like, well, you just got to get over it because that's selfish. But the other side of it is, the Bible tells us husbands to walk with our wives in an understanding way. And it tells us to love you as Christ loves the church. And it tells us to serve you and to honor you and hold you up, you know, in honor. And so on one hand, recognizing selfishness.
Yeah.
Recognizing like, well, like this is my lot in life. This is what God's given me. I have children to raise to know him.
And having a positive perspective about
and
that.
And having a positive perspective, mm-hmm. having a biblical perspective, knowing mm-hmm. that our jobs as mom and dad is to raise children that know and love the Lord.
Which is a super powerful purpose.
It's the most powerful yeah. purpose, that our kids will actually go to heaven.
Yeah.
Right? But on top of that, how can you as a husband cultivate an environment for you to thrive in that? Not that you just hold all the weight of everything, because the Bible tells us that you are the weaker vessel. And then I need to recognize that and be like, I can't just put everything I want on top of my wife and expect her to hold it all up. Mm. That's my job. Mm. I should hold everything up. Right. So knowing that if I want you to just love your role as a mother, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you time to yourself. Do I ever do that for you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like you've been really great at embracing this role.
This pregnancy.
You've been learning really with each one, but you do recognize a lot faster now when I'm kind of reaching that breaking point or need a breath of fresh air. Just the other day, you were like, you came home for lunch and you were like, hey, you want to go take lunch by yourself? And it felt really awkward saying yes, because I thought to myself, I'm not going to go sit in a restaurant by myself, but I did it and it was great. It was so refreshing.
She came back, like kicked the door open. She's like, hey kids, let's go do something.
I missed my kids. And so it refreshed that positive perspective.
Recharged you, gave you a new perspective. So on one hand, yes, we need to recognize that it's a self-dying that happens every day. Not just in our child rearing,
and
raising
be okay
children.
With that, embrace it, and accept that responsibility from God.
On the wife's part, on the mother's part,
mother's part. Yeah.
But on the husband's part is a self-dying also, that I would lay down my life for my wife and say, you know what, I don't want to sacrifice my time. I'm going to though, because I want you to feel energy and recharged. And also, husbands, dads out there, it's our jobs to be leading our family spiritually. Are you giving time for your wife to go and recharge in the Word of God?
So important.
With no kids around, not in the bathroom when she's on the toilet and the kids are trying to come in. This is like serious. Like, do you like, hey, babe, go and just spend an hour or two in the Word. And of course that can't happen every day. There's logistics in life, but is it on your mind? Mm-hmm. Are you saying like, man, I need to figure out a way to get my wife to just have some her time? Mm-hmm. And that's you dying to yourself and your desires and lifting her up. So it's not just, well, you need to get a right perspective, hun. You need just to tough it out, which she does. I do. But you need to tough it out too, men. You need to lay down your life and say, well, I need to make sure that my wife feels loved, cherished. I need to make sure that she has time for herself so that she can get regenerated. Have a bath. Like, how often I'm like, go take a bath.
Yep.
It doesn't happen all the time, but like once a week, maybe I just say, I'll draw a bath for you. I'll give you a bath bomb. I'll put some essential oils on.
Sometimes music.
Yeah. I'll put some music on and I put the kids to bed and it's just her time so that she can get her mind rested mm-hmm. and her spirit rested. And that's what we need to be doing. This is what a marriage after God looks like. It's not just all in my wife.
It's teamwork.
If you look at almost every scripture in the Bible about children, it's always tied to the fathers. Mm. Okay. So that should tell you how much weight should be on you as a father, that you are teaching your children, that you are discipling your children, that you are responsible for your children, that your wife, you don't just leave and say, oh, my wife's going to take care of it. My wife's going to read the Bible to them. My wife's going to teach them the word of God.
I will say if you assume that position and you put that weight on your wife, her fears will mount. Like she will have so many more fears.
And those will be legitimate fears because mm-hmm. she is doing it on her own and she has a husband that's absent. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be that husband. You're not that husband.
And because she'll be so drowning in her own fears that it'll probably stimulate fears to grow inside you. Oh, is my marriage not going to work out? Or are we not going to ever have intimacy because she's too tired to, you know what I mean? So like it starts mm-hmm. spiraling out of control when there's not a team action.
Yeah. So I hope this encourages you today. We're going to read a couple scriptures to close out.
As we're talking about fears today, there was a specific scripture that was on my heart that I really wanted to encourage, specifically the moms with, but dads too, listen up. It's in Psalm 34, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Hmm. Now, when you are acting out of fears or you're spiraling in your mind kind of out of control because of these fears that you have and you're motivated by your fears, you're not going to the Lord. Everything that you do in that moment is based off of what mm-hmm. you believe to be true, which are the lies and the fears that you're struggling with. And it's just going to get worse if you do not seek out the Lord. And I've mm-hmm. experienced this firsthand. I had an almost total meltdown today because I was so emotional over these fears mm-hmm. that we just talked about. And so it's really important that we seek after the Lord and that we come back to his perspective and what his truth is for our life and family.
Right. So we walked through a bunch of fears. This is a reality for us. It's something that we're going to have to daily go through, and we're going to be running to the scriptures. I'm going to be taking on my role as a spiritual leader in the home to encourage you, inspire you, remind you of the truth so that you can walk in it.
And I think it's really important for me to clearly communicate to you when I am having these fears, when they are coming up in my heart, because if I'm operating in them and letting them spiral in my mind and I'm not mm-hmm. confronting them or talking to you about them, then things are just going to go haywire in our whole family.
And then we start feeling crazy.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank you for watching today. And we just pray that this message encourages you. If any of you are going through this right now and walking through fears of a growing family. And so if you enjoyed this video, please hit the subscribe button and also hit the bell next to it so you get notified every time we upload a video.
And please leave us a comment. Let us know if you are planning on growing your family because we'd love to be excited and praise God with you.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next time.
Did you enjoy today's show? If you did, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Also, if you're interested, you can find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.